Welcome to The Softer Side of Finance, the weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg explains how the finance function can create more value through the human dimensions of people, organization, and culture, with a global audience on LinkedIn Audio. Recorded as a live session, anyone can join in. Raise your hand and the stage is yours. Fancy joining Anders? Head over to LinkedIn and sign up for the next event. For now, here's what you've missed so far.
Let's kick things off. Another episode of The Softer Side of Finance. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and I'll be your host as usual. We're talking about the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting, all going into the planning and forecasting manifesto. We actually have finished writing and producing the ebook. We haven't launched it yet, but if you want to get in on the early release list, just send me a message afterwards and I'll be sure to get it to you. We'll probably release it in not so long. So let's kick things off. A week to reforecast your financials. To some, a pipe dream. To others, it's already there. But when we just say a week, the gasps around the internet are almost audible. Back in the good old days of pocket calculators and Lotus 1-2-3, if someone can remember that, it's actually also before my time, I have to say, it wasn't uncommon to clock up double the normal working hours for a whole month at budget time. Actually, it was like that for me at the year-end close as well when I was doing that as a financial controller. So there's several of those cycles in the finance function. The idea of reforecasting the figures in a week was definitely a pipe dream. But now it's reality, or at least it should be. We're working in a world where the only constant is change. Our forecasts have to keep pace with the economic and social conditions within which the business operates. That includes not only having stress-tested contingencies in place for the edge cases that might come to pass, but also the ability to react quickly when the unexpected happens. We've had a lot of that to deal with in the past few years and continue to deal with this. Think about the SVB bankruptcy, UBS buying Credit Suisse. Feels like we are back in the years of the financial crisis. And it feels like every week or every month, something new is happening that we hadn't anticipated in our forecasts. So we've definitely had a lot of that to deal with lately. And it's clear that a rapid and confident response to change equals survival. And for the best, thrival, if you can say it like that, or at least thriving. Speed, though, is not the same as haste. Speed is the performance of a well-oiled forecasting machine taking evasive action to get past a blockage in the road ahead and stay on track. We're relying on a good driver, or rather, all of the drivers that underpin our financial and forecasting models. And let's just dwell just a little bit on the speed versus haste. Imagine you're getting a request from a senior leader in your company to say, hey, you know, we need to get an update of your financials. Can you get it to me tomorrow? Most would proceed with haste to produce some sort of numbers. It won't be great. It will be numbers, though. However, if you are able to proceed with speed because you already have a working model that at any given time can reforecast the financials, perhaps not in 12 hours, but definitely within a very short time period, you'll be able to deliver something that's high quality, is defensible if pushed on it, and makes sense for business leaders trying to make better decisions. It doesn't need to be accurate. We talked about that in a previous show. But you'll have something that makes sense. So speed over haste, but you can only be speedy if you have built the right models. It doesn't have to be in Excel. Of course you can, but definitely software and tools can also be used. So we definitely need drivers for speed. We build our forecasting model to reflect the activities of each operating unit. When activities have to change, our forecast changes. In complex organizations with many contributing units and multiple budget iterations, it's easy to get lost in the headline financials. In the face of it almost sounds odd to say black swan event, because it feels like a black swan event is hitting us every week, but an event that we hadn't anticipated, let's just say like that. starting from the numbers at the top will bring the whole enterprise to a grinding halt as it tries to find a new way around the problem. Never lose sight of the drivers that lie beneath those headline numbers. Of course, it's essential to choose the right drivers of activity and to model their relationships to resources and output accurately. But once your assumptions have been tested, then flexing activity levels to reflect a newly achievable reality will ripple through the whole forecast. And I think this is key. If you don't have a driver-based forecast that makes sense, you are going to struggle. I don't care how you have built it. Maybe I do care about the assumptions you put in, but you need a driver-based model. Now, it's not going to be 100% accurate, but it's going to enable you to change the needed drivers. To get an updated view on where your business is heading, given the current situation. If all you have is a bottom-up manual input model, it's just not usable anymore. I remember once I was sitting as a finance person in the region. So we're sort of the middle layer between the countries and the headquarters. And we didn't have a lot of forecasting responsibility, I would say, but some of the forecasting we had to do was the SG&A, sales, general, and administrative expenses for the countries. And there were no drivers here, or perhaps there could have been drivers, but all we had was a simple Excel model with, I think, probably 10 accounts where the countries would then manually have to input their numbers. Probably a three-week exercise just to get for one region the SG&A expenses. Now, probably this is not where you need to make a lot of changes in the short term in your business. In any case, no matter what hits you, but imagine the same process running for revenue, operational expenses, other, let's say, more variable amounts in your model. You're just not going to be able to get numbers fast enough to act. That's why you need a driver-based model. And of course, also avoiding complexity in forecasting and not worrying about perfect accuracy will also stand you in good stead, if you can say. When the model is simple, then there is greater trust in the output. It doesn't have to be perfect, but workable and comprehensible. And the way I would go about building it and choosing the assumptions is to link the assumptions with our strategy. I think we talked about this in a previous episode as well. If when you make your strategy, you document what assumptions are we making, what would have to be true for our strategy to be a good strategy, you then naturally get a lot of assumptions that you can plug into your model. And that should be able to model you a P&L, a balance sheet, and a cash flow. You have a three-way statement. Again, it won't be perfect. You won't have all the details, but it will be simple and flexible enough for you to be able to reforecast in the time period that you need. With confidence in the forecast and outcomes of new activity levels, the rest of your week can be spent on the things that matter. Building in new opportunities that have been exposed, identifying areas of concern, and testing new assumptions for future flexibility. Wouldn't it be great if in every forecasting and also budgeting cycle, what we spent our time on was risks and opportunities? Mitigate risks, maximize opportunities, make better decisions. All business cases, new initiatives you want to make, rather than spending time compiling numbers on subaccount number 94, because we're not going to have bucket variances on those anyway. We're not going to look at those. We're not going to explain them. We're not going to drive any decisions. We need to spend our time where it matters. So what are some steps you can take to do what we would call rapid reforecasting? If you already switched up your reforecasting to guide the business through the uncertain times ahead, how quickly can you confidently reforecast when life throws a spanner in the works? If there's room for improvement, it's never too late to revisit your models and processes. Here are a few points. First, identify the critical drivers. Have these changed as the business or the economic climate in which it functions has evolved? Are those still relevant assumptions? test that the model governs the relationship between key drivers, resources, and profitability. Right? So if you have a model already, you're getting actuals in, does it make sense? I'm not saying you shouldn't dive into why it's not accurate. Of course, you should learn why reality is different from the model so that you can improve the model, because it needs to be simple and transparent, or look for improvement opportunities to build more trust in the numbers. Run the processes upon which you currently rely alongside the revised driver-based modeling. Right? So you have a process today, you don't have a driver-based model, build one and see which one works the best. You don't have to switch completely to driver-based model until there's trust and confidence in the model. Can you deliver the same or better results with the new process? I'm sure you can. Maybe not the first round or the second round, but over time, you can. You just need to tweak, rinse, and repeat. I know this sounds very simplified compared to the daily reality you're facing, but simple is what works. Probably some of you have heard about the Microsoft case, what they now refer to as modern finance. You can go to Microsoft Modern Finance to learn more about it. And Microsoft hasn't sponsored this podcast or anything else. I'm just really fascinated about their story. In their forecasting, at least for the sales numbers, I'm not saying a full P&L, they used to take 3 weeks, and somehow 800 people were involved one way or the other. They then built a driver-based, machine learning-driven model. And after a few quarters of running it, they could now reforecast their financials, the revenue, in 2 days. And the model was run by two people. So from 3 weeks, 800 people, to 2 days, two people. I know it's not just top line, but still, that's a massive achievement. This tells you something about what you can achieve. And of course, Microsoft is a big, complex business. For smaller, simpler businesses, you could probably build it in Excel even and just change a few drivers. So don't tell me it's not possible, but rather answer me how you're going to make it happen today, tomorrow, or at least before your next budgeting and forecasting cycle. The world is not going to slow down anytime soon. We're long past the days of month-long late nights and budgets set in stone. Businesses that embrace rapid reforecasting are ready for whatever the world throws at them on their journey to success. At least what I can say from my experience is that if you want to build a new model, start by building it in Excel. If you try to build it within a system, it's probably not going to deliver what you want. Build in Excel, test it out, or whatever spreadsheet software you use, test it out, run it against your current process, learn, and in time, maybe a year, I'm not saying it happens from one day to the other, you will have built a model that can achieve what we talked about here today, reforecasting your finances in a week or less. Because if you do that, you'll free up time to work on more important priorities. You'll be able to become a much more value-creating finance and accounting professional. So don't do it for me, don't do it for your company, do it for yourself. I say it will help you in your career to become a better finance professional. With that, thank everyone for listening in today. Remember to catch the podcast, The Soft Side of Finance, on your favorite podcast channel. You can also catch the hashtag Finance Master podcast also on similar channels. Here we talk about trends in finance and accounting more broadly, whereas on The Soft Side of Finance, we really dig into niche topics related to FP&A and business partnering. Hope to see all of you again next week, where we'll continue with some of the last commandments in the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting. So thanks everyone, and see you next week.
You've been listening to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on how the finance function can create more value. And why not join Anders every Monday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?